Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1 and listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Welcome to this week's Your County on Stray FM. I'm Patrick Dunlop.
And I'm Lisa North.
Coming up on the show, we look ahead to National Apprenticeship Week. We'll also find out how businesses in Craven can help flood-affected areas.
And why driving instructors are being encouraged to have extra training.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
Now, next week is National Apprenticeship Week. It's designed to celebrate apprenticeships and the positive impacts they have on individuals, businesses and the wider economy. Well, we've been finding out more about the benefits.
Hi, I'm Julie Hudson, Company Secretary of Colin Hudson Accounting Limited in North Allerton.
I'm John T. Gill. I'm the Accounting Apprentice of Colin Hudson Accounting Limited.
Hello, I'm Helen Beavis. I work for North Yorkshire County Council. I'm the Business Engagement Officer.
Why, as a company, did you want to take on an apprentice?
Well, we're a newly formed company in September 2013 and we were looking for more support, really, and we thought the apprenticeship scheme was a great opportunity for us to train a young person up into the ways we want to have the person trained up into, and it was a good thing to be able to give a young person an opportunity. On top of that, we realised that there was a grant from the District Council, which obviously was very, very helpful to a young business such as ours. So we looked for an apprentice, found John T, and the rest really is history, actually. It's worked very, very well for us. It means John T had the opportunity to have half a day a week training away from the office on the AAT Level 2 apprenticeship training. It meant that we could train John T in the ways of how we worked, learn the basics as well, and then grow him into other areas of the accountancy practice, because that's quite important.
Being able to provide the training in kind of the way you work and in your workflows, that must be a real benefit.
Yes, it is. It means that John T has been supported, and I hope he feels like he's been supported, by senior members of the team as well. It means that we have a consistent approach to the way we work. What we do is we make sure that our staff get to know our clients as well. We have a very friendly, open office. We want people to feel as though we're very approachable, and that includes the apprentice. So that apprentice needs to fit in with our sort of team effort and how they will work with other people and how they will get along with clients. And we've been extremely lucky with John T, and everything's gone really, really well from that point of view.
So John T, why an apprenticeship?
I started at university in Newcastle in September 2014 to do geography and history, and I ended up leaving there the Easter afterwards because I didn't think it was for me, university route, and I was looking at possibilities of what to do next. And I decided to go down the line of an apprenticeship. However, it initially didn't occur like that. I was initially going for a practice interview, as I had others arranged. And at the end of that interview, they offered me an accounting apprenticeship role, which I was shocked with but really happy with. And I knew from the interview that it was going to be like, it was what I wanted. So I was really happy with that. And I've gone from there and I've really enjoyed it. Don't regret it at all.
It's a big change going from university, going into the workplace. What have been the challenges, do you think?
It's been coping with the difference to the hours worked. Almost at university, I had nine contact hours, and then suddenly going to 37.5 hours a week. It's a big jump, but it's a lot better for me, and it's made me more hardworking, and that, which I see is a real benefit, especially in the long term.
And why accountancy?
Well, generally just the fact that maths is one of the strong areas for me. And at university, with me studying geography and history, I wasn't 100% sure. Like, I couldn't be 100% sure that accountancy was going for me. But now, having done my apprenticeship and my AET and my training at college, I'm now 100% sure that it's a career path that I would like to follow going forward.
And does it feel like there are opportunities there in accountancy then?
Definitely, yeah. I've just finished my AAT Level 2, which I started when I started my apprenticeship, and in April I'm going to be starting my Level 3, which I'm looking forward to, in another step up.
And on a practical basis then, I mean, how does that How does your week pad out? How much time do you spend working? How much time do you spend doing your AAT courses?
Well, I work, it's 8:30 to 5 on a Monday to Friday basis, and I have spend a Tuesday morning doing my AAT level 2 out at a college in Thirsk. So I spend half a morning out the office and the rest I spend working in the office in Northallerton.
And what must be interesting, I suppose, is you go to college and you're learning all this theoretical stuff about accountancy, but then I guess when you get back in the business you can use it for real.
Yeah, that's one of the real benefits, because you take 95% of the stuff you take from your AAT work, and it's all pretty much all relevant to what you're going to be doing in the office. And you look at how much I've learned in the past 10 months and I've gone from knowing a little to knowing more than I do now, but then I realise there's still so much more to learn, and that's a real thing I've got to take from it.
Tell us about your award, Jonty.
We saw it that there was a Hambleton district were running the award, and we thought it was a too good an opportunity to company and for me individually to turn down entering for it. And we had to write, we wrote a written application for it and sent it away, and I kind of didn't think much more of it once I sent it away, until a few weeks later I got a phone call telling me that I've been selected for like the award, like final ceremony thing. And I still wasn't expecting to win it when I got there, so to win it I was really happy with, and yeah, shocked and delighted really.
So this was the Hambleton Business Apprentice of the Year Award. Was it a big ceremony then?
Yeah, oh, there was lots of people then. The councillor of the Hambleton district was presenting the awards, which was really good to get the award from him, and lots of local businesses as well were also there with young apprentices, so it was good to meet the other apprentices as well and to like engage with them. And we had a lunch after the awards as well, so it was good to speak to them at that and get to know them a little bit more.
Did you get a picture of you and some of the other apprentices?
Yes, there was a picture, and it was in some of the local papers such as the Darlington and Stockton Times, at the Northern Echo, and as well as the other award winners, which was really good. And
be interesting to get another one of that group in 30 years' time, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
See whether you're the North Allen business leaders in a few
years. Yeah, would be. I know, it'd be interesting to see that. Yeah, definitely.
So what were they judging the award on? What sort of criteria was it judged on?
They were asking questions such as the training available at your current workplace, where you want to be moving forward. They asked, the hardest question I thought they asked was, why you think you deserve to be the Apprentice of the Year.
What did you say?
I was saying how I thought that because of the training and the hard work I put in, and how I've passed my AAT exams first time, and that I thought that I deserved it, and luckily the judges agreed.
What did it mean to the business for Jonty to get that award?
It meant that we were very, very proud of Jonty, actually. We hoped that he would do very well, but we didn't know who else was in for this award. But we have... Jonty has never let us down with anything that he's done. He's been really, really good in the business. He's contributed well. It means that it gives us a little bit of publicity, really. It's good for our marketing as well. Hopefully it means that people realise that we want to put something back into the community. We want to help young people. We want to train people as well. And so I think hopefully everybody benefits from this.
And Helen, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I mean, people think about apprenticeships as being about the apprentice and being about the business, but there's a community element to this as well.
Absolutely, yes. And we've heard some wonderful stories here, haven't we? And yes, it's about other businesses learning the lessons and sort of engaging and getting information from other businesses just to see, you know, reinforce the benefits if they have got concerns. It's about that networking, isn't it? You know. And we all benefit, don't we, from young people giving back, and you know, they look at things in a different way. I think that's fantastic. Julie's mentioned that, you know, and I think it's a really valid point.
How involved do you get in sorting out these apprenticeships?
Well, I come in early on. My job is to build a relationship. We sort of think of it as a three-way relationship, really. North Yorkshire County Council, Adult Learning, are the training providers. Jonty, in this instance, was doing all the hard work. He's the person actually receiving the learning. And good relationship with Julie and her company, so that we get... They work best when the communication works well, really. Everybody knows where we're at. If there are any wrinkles that need ironing out, we can do those. And just support, you know, keep our eye on everybody, make sure everything's running well.
Does it tend to be local people go for apprenticeships with local companies? Is there a sense in which that's keeping the local economy going, where actually in past maybe those people might have drifted away?
I think you know, we all want to try and improve and develop local companies, smaller companies, growing companies, new companies, and, you know, rather than have everybody being drawn to the larger towns and cities, I think it's wonderful when young people can stay within their own community. You know, that creates a different environment, doesn't it? It has a knock-on effect in all sorts of ways that I think we don't fully appreciate, but I think very, very helpful.
And interesting that Jonty had gone to university but then came down the apprenticeship route. It's becoming a real alternative.
It is, yes. I mean, you know, I think what you have to do is think about you as an individual and think the best way forward. You know, university is a fantastic opportunity, but I think you have to look at it in the round. You know, there's a cost. It's about what qualification you're going to come out with. Does it make you employable? And you have to consider apprenticeships as a really good option. You know, it's not necessarily an automatic route for some people from sixth form. I think it's about looking at a range of options, really. And apprenticeships, I think, you know, as these good news stories have told us, that it's way up there. And if you track those people's careers going forward, I think the benefits are huge, actually.
So in National Apprenticeship Week, then what advice and help is there for individuals or for companies that might be interested in becoming either an apprentice or someone who employs an apprentice?
Well, I think from both sides, really. It's about spreading the word. It's about making sure that there is information out there. Obviously, in my role, I'd be delighted if there was to trigger a thought in either a young person or a local employers and think, actually, that could work very well for us. I think to raise awareness, to sell the good news stories that apprenticeships have got is a fantastic opportunity. And yes, it's a focus on this week, but we start apprenticeships every week of the year. You know, they're always out there, always lots of opportunities.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
The County Council's No Wrong Door project has just been rated as outstanding by inspectors from Ofsted. Martin Kelly, who's head of Children and Young People's Resources, explains how the project is making a big difference.
The No Wrong Door project is part of an innovation programme supported by the DfE. It was funded with some additional money from the Department for Education. It is about working with the most complex and challenging groups of adolescents, young people who are in and on the edge of care. Its aim really is to bring a range of services under one umbrella so that a range of practices come together to work around the young person to try and get the best aspirational outcome for a young person. So it brings together a range of specialists, such as a psychologist, a speech and language therapist. We have a police officer within the model. And it works with children who traditionally would perhaps end up in residential care, but it works with them to find an alternative foster placement.
And how long has the scheme been going?
The scheme's been running about 12 months. Started the last April. We're seeing really fantastic progress with making a big difference for many adolescents. Certainly seen a difference in terms of reduced missing episodes for children. We're seeing a vast reduction in things like criminal activity and arrests of young people. We're working much more restoratively, so trying to restore relationships and trying to improve the journey for a young person long term, rather than thinking just about what's happening in their day-to-day lives. It's thinking about where do we want them to be when they reach 25. In this model, the young person gets a key worker which stays with them throughout their journey, whether they go into different placements, whether they go into different transitions around schooling. They have one key worker that will stay with them from potentially, you know, the age of 14 all the way to the age of 25.
And I understand you've just had an Ofsted rating. So tell me a little bit about how that's gone.
We have. We've been inspected over a two-day inspection in the east of the county, and that Ofsted inspection found us to be outstanding in every area. It was a fantastic report. It's the best report I've read, and I've been working with the residential care for over 25 years. It's certainly the best report I've read in 25 years. It really sort of talks quite a lot about how the team works together, how it brings together a range of different professions and works under one umbrella with one management approach.
It's quite an innovative project, isn't it, this? And tell me more about why you think that Ofsted, you know, made that decision. What about the service do you think is outstanding?
It is an innovative project. It's nationally recognised. It's certainly, we've had lots of interest from across the country. There's been some international interest. The project has been evaluated through Loughborough University, so we'll have lots of evidence about how it can reduce costs for local authorities and for the police and for other public services through having better outcomes for young people earlier on. So those young people that perhaps we've previously struggled to provide care for, we're now making significant progress in all sorts of outcomes, whether it's educational outcomes or whether it's about reducing crime. For those young people that perhaps have been at fairly significant risk at times, we're reducing the levels of risk by having a much more proactive and joint approach.
And you, part of this scheme, you know, needs volunteers, it needs people to volunteer as hosts. Are you still looking for people to get involved?
Yeah, part of the scheme is that we're bringing foster carers to work alongside our children's home. So the different part of this model is that the foster carers that work with us as part of that team will work in the children's home. They develop a relationship with young people. They get to know them, and they choose to then foster those young people. So we're always on the lookout as a local authority. We're always on the lookout for all sorts of foster carers. For this specific project, we're looking for foster carers who have got some experience of working with young people or they've perhaps got some experience of bringing up adolescents. They want a challenge of being a foster carer. What they get is, in this project, they'll certainly be very well reimbursed in terms of a financial package. They get support from a specialist team, the team that I've talked about. So they'll be working alongside a psychologist and speech-language therapist, alongside the police, and alongside the key worker that will stay with the young person. They will work alongside young people from a range of different perspectives. So they may work within the children's home. They'll also work with young people who are on the edge of care and perhaps give them some support. So it might be that they take a young person into the home for, you know, 2 or 3 days just for a short break. It's a fantastic opportunity for anybody that really wants to come into fostering and has got a great deal of experience of working alongside adolescents. If there's others out there that want to foster young people and get involved and perhaps haven't got so much experience, we're always looking for foster carers who can give young people the time to make a real difference. It's a fantastic role. You know, many of our foster carers will talk regularly about how they've made a real difference to children's lives. And I would welcome, you know, people to come along and have a look at our website. We've got some good videos of foster carers that give some great feedback, talk about their experiences, about what it's like to be a foster carer. If you want to become a foster carer, that can be done relatively quickly. Now it goes through an assessment period of perhaps about 5 or 6 months, whereas previously it's taken a much longer process. So we're really interested in hearing from people that would like to join us as part of this project.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
Businesses in Craven are being asked to get involved in the hashtag Open for Business project. It's a digital map to help tourists visiting flood-affected areas identify which businesses are open.
Well, developed by the Department for Communities and Local Governments, the map is part of a digital campaign to promote businesses hit by the recent floods and change the perception that these areas are closed for business. Business owners or members of the public can add businesses to the map themselves.
Your County. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
The County Council is encouraging driving instructors to train up for the Enhanced Pass Plus scheme. It offers new drivers extra tuition after they've passed their test. Here's Driver Training Officer Dave Clark.
Clearly, instructors have a unique role in road safety. They are the only people really that have a one-to-one relationship with new drivers, and they have an awful lot of influence, more than some believe they have, in fact, about the way people behave and what they do. They are, to some extent, role models. So what we've asked instructors to do is take a day out of their lives. And having been a working instructor myself, I know that's not really as desperate as it sounds. They don't lose a day's work. All they do is reschedule the lessons they would normally have had in that day into slots they have elsewhere in the week. They come along to wherever we're holding the session, and we spread these around the county. And we spend a day with them talking about the way we have seen Enhanced Pass Plus develop, what we would like them to do, certain scenarios we'd like them to use in the car, which will then link in with the new driver discussion group, and just make sure that they're delivering the message that we want them to. Some of them, it's quite clear that what we're asking them to do is what they would have done anyway. Others, it's not. But the course is certificated, so they can use it towards their continual professional development. And it doesn't cost them anything at all. It's free of charge. They come along, we will give them refreshments, we'll give them a light lunch, and we'll put them through the whole of the course so that they can then go out and either sell this on to their pupils, or, as happened a couple of times recently, where a newly qualified driver or their family have contacted me and said, I'd like my person to do this, I'd like my son, my grandson, whatever, to do this, but their instructor isn't registered for it. We will then find them an instructor who is. Or if the instructor wants to, they can come on board with us and we'll put them through the training anyway. So it's very, very open. We're looking for more people all the time to join us because it's a completely rolling program. Every day, instructors retire and move on, and every day, new instructors come on board. So we're constantly running these things to make sure we have a good database of people there.
I suppose having that enhanced training, they can incorporate that into their lessons, you know, the lessons you have before a test. So getting those messages across about don't think you're invincible, look out for other people. That's all things you could tie into your basic training.
Absolutely, and I know a lot of them do, although I would point out, although it's a completely different scheme, we also subscribe at North Yorkshire County Council to the Honest Truth programme, which was developed down in the West Country following a triple fatality of some young people down there. It's been put together by the police, fire service and the local authority down there, and it's now gone national. And we subscribe to that along with the police and fire and rescue up here. And that gives them even more tools that they can use in the car. Again, the training's free of charge. It's half a day. And if they contact me on the same numbers that we've mentioned earlier, they'll be fine to come along and sign themselves up for that and get all the resources they need to do it. So it's another tool in the box to help people do it.
Just remind us again of your contact details for anyone who'd like to get in touch.
Certainly, my telephone number is 01609 797479, and you can reach me on email at road.safety@northyorks.gov.uk.
Your county. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Now, have you ever fancied writing a novel? Would you like to learn how to write poetry? Do you want to write stories for children? And how do you start your autobiography? Well, author Andy Croft is leading a 9-week creative writing course at Ripon Library, focusing on beginnings and endings, points of view, mood and meaning, time and rhythm. Well, each week involves a combination of exercises and examples, as well as one-on-one tutorials. Well, the course starts on the 17th of March. It'll be taking place in the library's meeting room on Thursdays from 10:30 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. and each session costs £10 per person. So to book your place, you can call 01609 536 623 or email ripon.library@northyorks.gov.uk.
Meanwhile, a variety of books will be on sale at Ripon Library during the Spring Tabletop Book Sale, running in the library reference area from Tuesday until Saturday, the 2nd of April. There'll be a wide selection of items to choose from, including adult fiction, non-fiction and children's books. Prices start from as little as 50p. Elsewhere, an exhibition of traditional quilts and art textiles commemorating the First World War is touring Knaresborough and Harrogate's libraries. The work represents personal and individual responses to the conflict, often inspired by family memories or objects. Many works were also inspired by the literature and poetry of the period available in North Yorkshire libraries or by family history discovered using library resources. A selection of the pieces will be on display at Knaresborough Library until the 27th of April and Harrogate Library from the 3rd of May until the 6th of June. To find out more about the exhibitions or get involved in the project, please contact Annie Parkinson on 01723 361 525 or email annieparkinson48@gmail.com.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.